Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to our show. Today is June 23rd, 2016, and this is a weekly South Center's live streaming radio and video shows that are aired on the Ohio State University South Center's channel. While we build our video studio, we are enjoying the radio live streaming broadcast that will be doing Thursdays from 9 to 9:30 during June. We will eventually go from 9 to 12, airing some of our programs that we undertake at our OSU-RIO collaboration program. Our goal is simple: to inform our listening and viewing audience of the diverse educational programs, and most importantly, the individuals who work with these programs and how they assist you.
You're right, Patrick. We do have very diverse programs here. They include the Business Development Network team, the Agricultural Research and Education programs, aquaculture programs, soil and water conservation programs, direct marketing event. We also have other opportunities to expand into international trade.
Yes, we're surrounded by a lot of great people, you know. Today's guests, who are you bringing on today, Kim?
We have two guests today, Joe Camoriano, the Director of National Broadcast Media at The Ohio State University in Columbus, main campus. That will be exciting. We also have Kevin Dingle, an instructor at Gahanna High School, to discuss honeybees. You know, that's what's an exciting time in the summertime to discuss honeybees. So,
I noticed, you know, I have a couple questions I want to ask him, because I noticed that the honeybees are not as plentiful. So maybe Kevin has some input.
Great. Input. So we'll go ahead and jump in and start with Joe. Are you there, Joe?
I am here.
Wonderful. Could you tell us a little bit about your position and what you do there at Ohio State University?
Sure. So first I want to say thank you for having me on the program, and looks like we survived the storms up here in Columbus. So I am Director of National Broadcast Media here at Ohio State. And so basically, in a nutshell, what I do is I place faculty experts on all kinds of national media. So everything from Good Morning America, Today Show, CNN, Al Jazeera, international as well. We also do a lot with NPR, National Public Radio, and the BBC. So we have a radio and television studio here in Bricker Hall on the
very
main
nice.
Campus.
I understand the position that's offered. I understand this is not a position that happens around the U.S. very much, the director of national broadcast. How did you get into it?
So Kimberly, there's relatively few of these. There's more and more trying to get out there in the across the country. But I've been in television for, my goodness, close to 30 years. I've done a lot of university. So it's kind of a perfect marriage looking for a national broadcast director. So there's a great need to elevate the national reputation of universities, and Ohio State being, you know, the preeminent comprehensive university in the country. About 8 years ago, we did not have a national outlet for television. And so we created one, and now basically we can shoot all of our information out to all across the country. So it's a very unique position, and it's a lot of fun, to work here.
I would imagine so. I would venture to say that you have a lot of unique faculty individuals that can bring a great perspective to the listening and viewing audiences.
Yes, we have everything from, you know, former Colonel Peter Mansour, who was Colonel to General under General Petraeus. So anytime there's news about Afghanistan or, you know, Iraq, those type of things, we have him on. We have everything, you know, healthcare. We even have a coyote expert. We had a Canadian television station ask us, by the way, do you have anybody who can talk about coyotes? And we're like, actually, we do. And so the list just goes on and on and on and on. It's incredible the amounts and the plethora of experts that we have here.
Oh. And so in the next 2 or 3 years, where do you hope your program will be? I know that Ohio State University really represents a wide variety of different topics on a global basis. So where do you envision?
So as far as when you mentioned program, we're looking at it holistically through advancement. We have, you know, working together as a team with our social media group, our internal marketing, alumni relations. So all of us working together to elevate the national reputation. So one of the things that's, you know, getting away from the university speak, the world is moving so fast in social media platforms. So one of the exciting things is we're looking at national trends, right? We're looking at how social media is, you know, not everyone watches television or listens to radio. The younger demographics are Snapchatting. They're, you know, tweeting. They're, you know, doing all kinds of. Facebook is kind of old right now. We use it for various, you know, things, but we're looking at more tools to reach our audiences. And so it's very exciting. The next 2-3 years, it's going to be amazing to see how we're going to be able to disseminate that information through all of these new tools. And so we have teams that are developing that. And I'm excited to see what happens with our studio and how we're going to be able to connect and tap into that.
Well, and I also know that collaborating with other kinds of universities, you know, it's been our fortunate experience living in a rural area to where another university, University of Rio Grande, had a need, and we had a need also, and so there's sort of a marriage, and that's how our radio and our TV program started, because we fulfilled a need that each of us had down here at in Southern Ohio. And,
right. And
because of the technology, we're able to reach more and more individuals. So does that sort of fit in also with your plans and your directions, you know, collaborating with other groups and organizations?
That's a good question, Patrick. What is a typical day there for you?
Well, no day is typical, as you probably aware of, but usually I start off by looking at what is the national trends, what's going on in the news right now. So I go through my Twitter, I look at television, I'm watching TV all day, looking for those things that we can speak to. Usually I work on trying to find more experts throughout the university. We have television stations calling in, asking for experts. So, you know, one moment we can get a call from the Today Show saying we need, you know, so-and-so in the next hour to talk on this. So we rush to try to get that done. Other times we're looking for those collaborations. We're looking how can we connect with those who are close to us, those we haven't developed a relationship with yet, and try to massage that into how can we get the biggest bang for the buck, right? Trying to get national expert information out throughout Ohio, but throughout the nation and the world. And collaboration is key. So I spend a lot of time looking at relationships, looking at how I can connect with those around me, because it does take a team. And so we're constantly looking at that. So a typical day, I can go on forever. A typical day is crazy. It's fun.
So what's the most exciting event you've ever been involved with?
So it's every day is exciting, but occasionally we have films that come through campus. We had Arnold Schwarzenegger's film 478 that came through. We had John Travolta's I Am Wrath come through. So we have movies, and you say, how does that fit into the university's mission? We try to accommodate and work with the city of Columbus. They love Ohio State, these films, because we have so many different things that we can offer. You know, our primary mission is research and academic excellence. But one of the things that's exciting is actually working with these groups and collaborating and bringing them in. And it was kind of fun. I got to actually be on a couple of the films on set. So we're constantly managing documentaries, films, small and large, coming through. So there's a whole process of, you know, developing that side as well. So it's pretty cool.
I know that Ohio State University is a major research center, and I know that our medical center at the Columbus area, Ohio State University, is one of the premier universities that deal with a variety of different things, but also with cancer research. And I would imagine that individuals from that center probably come on your show once in a while and talk about some of the new and interesting research phases that they're involved in. Wouldn't you say?
Yes. Yeah, actually, we get quite a bit from the Wexner Medical Center and the James Cancer Research Center. We, the national media, these folks are churning out incredible amounts of research at a high speed, and we have national media contacting us almost every other day. And working in collaboration with them, they have a great team over there, and they get their information out, but from time to time, they'll reach out to us, and they'll say, you know, NBC Nightly News is after us for this great story. And so we put a fair amount of experts from the medical side out on national broadcast.
I understand. Joe, we only have about two more minutes. What are some things that you would like the listening audience to sort of understand about Ohio State University, about the national media broadcast, about all the different things that we do? And you only have 2 minutes. So where do you start?
Okay, so I guess I would start with just the amount of information that the Ohio State collectively produces. If you have a question about everything from agriculture to healthcare to how does this situation affect my pocketbook, I have a YouTube page that I created here at Ohio State. If you go to osu.edu under the news section, we have a YouTube site that has a list of experts talking about all kinds of issues. And I don't think there's one issue that does not affect the listening audience. And so, you know, we are moving from excellence to eminence. And I know that sounds like a lofty goal. Like, what does that mean? And I only have about, you know, 45 seconds to explain that, which I won't. But I do want to say that, you know, the research that's coming out of here is affecting lives. It's not just research. It really is being applicable and really helping people out there. And I see it every day. I listen to these faculty experts every day, and I'm just amazed. So the more we can get out there, so if we can make a connection with our listening audience, come check us out. Come look at news.osu.edu. I'm putting a plug in, news.osu.
Okay.
So come check us out.
Okay. Well, Joe, I want to thank you very much for coming on our program. We eventually will have you at our OSU RIO TV radio programs that feature a variety of different programs and educators like yourself. So, Joe, it's been a pleasure having you on the air. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you both.
And now we have one of those individuals. He's a product of Ohio State University. He graduated in 2005, I believe.
Very nice. And I understand he's kind of a celebrity from what you were saying before.
Yeah.
Maybe he can tell us about that?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and go to Joe Dingle.
No, Kevin Dingle.
Or Kevin Dingle, sorry. the instructor at Gahanna High School that's going to talk about honeybees today, among other things like his
famous
item.
Thing.
Yeah.
So, Kevin, welcome to our program.
Thank you for having me.
It's our understanding that you have sort of a claim to fame that very few individuals had the experience. Do you want us to?
It is true.
Do you want to share with us with the listening audience?
Sure. So I teach at Gahanna Lincoln High School and Gahanna Jefferson Public Schools, which is a suburb of Columbus, and grew up in the music programs there and in both band and orchestra. And in high school, there was a shortage of tubas. I played trombone at the time, and my band director said, "Hey, look, I'll teach you how to play tuba." And that journeyed into joining the Ohio State Marching Band and dotting the I on two separate occasions. Yes, it was a lot of fun. Penn State away. That was the last time the band had actually been to Penn State. And the Northwestern game in 2005. So,
hey, and I would imagine that because you dotted the I, we won. Ohio State University won both games, right?
Not the Penn State game, unfortunately. But the Northwestern one, yes.
Well, it wasn't because of your dotting the I.
No. It was a bad night there. So.
Yeah, I understand. you get involved in honeybees.
Well, my first teaching job was outside of Chicago, and one of my colleagues who taught at one of the other middle schools in the district had a few hives in his backyard, and I thought that was, I didn't know anybody else who kept bees. I thought bees were these scary, stingy things that you want to stay away from. And so him having four or five or six hives in his backyard kind of piqued my interest. He would always give me honey, and it was delicious. And so then I started reading a lot of books and got Beekeeping for Dummies and read that really quickly. And then that led to some more books, and then all the proliferation of everything on YouTube, just kind of soaking in a lot of information. And I convinced begrudgingly my family and my wife to get a hive, and that's turned into now a lot more than I think they had anticipated. So we now have four hives in our backyard, and with plans to expand in a nearby town at a property that has 160 some acres, and I'll talk about that a little later. But it kind of grew quickly.
So I'm not that familiar with honeybees. So if you have a hive in your backyard, do they bother the neighbors?
Ordinarily, no. We had a situation with one of my hives. So we didn't have a very harsh winter, and I belong to some bee organizations, and I on Facebook and whatnot, and there were a lot of swarms happening this spring, and a lot of people have a false association with swarms. Swarms are actually when bees are their most docile. So I've captured swarms that have, it's just a natural multiplication of a hive where I'm just wearing a t-shirt and shorts and no protective equipment. I just cut the branch off and take them to a new hive. So bees ordinarily are not aggressive. They can get aggressive. One of the hives on my property, other bees in the area, most likely a swarm, were trying to get into the hive to take their honey because this other swarm didn't have much. So they became kind of defensive. So we couldn't go out back for a week just while that was all happening. But
so you had bee wars.
We did have bee wars. But I have two young children, and we can often stand in front of those four hives, and the bees just kind of go in and out, and they do their own thing. But you can get times where they get a little testy with just other bees trying to rob them. So
I didn't know that.
Yes.
What about the swarms that are coming from the south? The bees that are what they call the killer bees.
The Africanized. So
yes.
There are some different thoughts on that. I've heard that there's a certain band across the United States where they will not go beyond just because of the temperature. But that is that's a bigger issue in like Arizona and kind of the warmer, more arid climates. But the Africanized bee actually started, it's a kind of a Frankenstein bee, because there was a beekeeper that wanted to increase honey production and bred some bee from Brazil and a bee from Africa, and it just kind of transformed into a highly aggressive bee that then got out of the apiary by accident and now has spread. But that's not an issue, at least currently, anywhere in the Midwest.
In our area?
To any degree.
Oh, huh. That's interesting. So the bees, the four hives that you have, I'm assuming that there is plenty of places where they're able to collect nectar.
Correct, yeah.
Because you do live in a city environment, so I'm assuming that the bees have been pollinating various different kinds of plants.
Yes, so I just extracted some honey from one of my hives, and that's just, you know, whatever's around you. Every beekeeper's honey is different because the flowers around them are different. And as the season progresses, that color and flavor will change based upon what's around. But, yeah, they're are a lot of plants, and I live in a, you know, suburban area. The mayor of Gahanna actually just started beekeeping, so that's a good thing for bees and building up interest. But I'm working with the city and soon to be getting more pollinator flower beds and plants just around, because one of the biggest issues is a lot of what's being planted is not really pollinator friendly, and so that kind of creates what they call deserts, pollinated deserts for the bees, or a food desert. And so there's a big push with various organizations, and there's grant money around the country for it as well, to increase and make more, you know, food oases, you know, an oasis for bees and other pollinators. I know that the White House made a honeybee commission, I forget the exact title of it, and just ways that the country can be a little bit more cognizant about, you know, making sure we're planting and helping the, you know, the ecosystem and biodiversity and all of that.
Well, you know, it is interesting. We have several faculty people here at the South Centers who are encouraging individuals to our communities to have gardens.
Yes.
Community gardens, and I think it's great. You know what community gardens are basically. You have a little plot of land in an area that's been torn down, and you and your neighbors get to plant different kinds of fruits and vegetables, and you take care of that little plot, and it beautifies as well as it encourages the bees to come back.
Exactly. And there's a lot of other native pollinators other than the honeybee, because the honeybee is actually not from the United States, but there's a lot of different native bees that benefit from that as well. And, you know, we think about, you know, flowering trees and shrubs. That not only helps whatever native pollinators you have, but also birds and, you know, provides them food for the winter and all of that. So, yeah, any kind of plot of land that you kind of want to not worry about is a great place to plant, you know, native flowers and just kind of build up the ecosystem around you. There is actually I have two websites pulled up. One of them is actually the OSU Bee Lab, which is based out of Worcester. But Denise Ellsworth is the program director up there, and that website is fantastic just to provide a lot of information to people. But the Ohio State Beekeepers Association actually has a link to a seed packet. It's called the Ohio Pollinator Oasis seed packet that people can purchase and, again, find a place on your property and throw some of this down and help kind of build up that pollinator population that's been on the decline due to a lot of various factors.
Suggest that people take a look at if they're interested in beginning to raise bees.
So the Ohio State Beekeepers Association is great. There's a lot of local organizations. I belong to the Central Ohio Beekeepers Association. I know that there's been a huge uptick in interest in beekeeping, partially because all the news articles and stories on the news about the honeybee decline. So I think last year there were 140 people, if my memory is right, that signed up for the beginning beekeeper course, which is the most they've ever had. So there's a ton of interest, and which is great because we need a lot of informed beekeepers. There was a time where, almost everybody, at least when we lived on farms, had bees because they helped whatever you were farming.
Sure.
So I think there's a change in perception. So a lot of more people are interested. Again, the wife of our mayor has been wanting to do this for years, and she messaged me and said, "Hey, I'm interested in starting. Can you help me?" And I happen to have just caught one of those swarms that happened this spring, and so their hive is doing exceptionally well. But I mean, they have a garden, and it's pretty low effort to manage one hive.
Very nice.
Two hives. So, and you can.
Very nice. Let's
this
have
is definitely
about
a hobby. Oh, sorry.
Sorry. There's 1 minute left. Is there something that you want to leave us with before we say goodbye today?
I think the biggest thing is find some native plants or seeds at your local nursery or plant store and plant those, get perennials, get something that you don't have to worry about managing, and it's not kind of a high management system for you, and just help the native pollinators where you live. Kind of the takeaway. Plant good things. Flowering,
yes.
Shrubs and whatnot.
Very nice.
Kevin, thank you very much for being on. We really appreciate our guest today. Kim, a lot of things are happening. As a matter of fact, before we call it an experience, you have a flyer there.
I do. We have an upcoming event in July on the 28th. It's a Thursday. It's a soil and water bioenergy field night. They're going to talk about gypsum for soils and crop and environment. They're going to take a look at agricultural. There's a new ICAST technology they're using, and you're going to go out into the field on a wagon tour and take a look at that directly. So give Sarah Strasbaugh a call at 740-289-2071. Her extension is 111, and you can register for that event. That's here at OSU South Centers. And
you know what the nice thing about this is?
No charge. Very
That's
good.
That's right.
Yeah.
I know that we have some great educators here at the South Centers, and everyone that has attended one of our programs, I think, has walked away with a smile on their face.
They do.
So on behalf of Joe and Kevin and Kimberly and myself, I really appreciate you listening. The nice thing about our radio, our live streaming radio and our video is that you don't have to be exactly here at the time that we air, because this is archived on Blog Talk Radio and on our YouTube channel. So I'm Patrick.
I'm Kimberly.
Thank you for listening and watching. Have a great day and see you next Thursday. We're off the air, but Kevin and Joe, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Really appreciate it.
Well, what I'll do is I'll send that. I have invited Kevin to come July the 13th at our OSU Rio. And Joe, when you get some time, I'd like to have you come down and also be on our OSU Rio program too.
Sure, we'll figure it out.
Okay, all right. So it was very painless. If it'll probably take a little bit of time, but you can go back in and take a listen and see what you think. And if you have any suggestions how to improve this, please, by all means, let us know.
Okay.
Wonderful. Thank you so much again.
Oh, thank you. And I'll be talking with you, as will Kim. Thank you.
Great. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye.